Welcome, and thanks for listening to the Missouri Review Sound Booth Podcast. We're broadcasting from the University of Missouri campus in Columbia, Missouri, home of the Missouri Review, the quarterly that brings you the best contemporary literature in fiction, nonfiction, and poetry. Every week, we'll be featuring a wide range of readings and interviews with writers, editors, and agents. Today on the podcast, we're excited to feature the prose runner-up from our 2015 Miller Audio Prize contest, Robert Morgan Fisher, for his entry, Vox Rex. Robert Morgan Fisher's fiction has appeared in Zero Dark Thirty, The Huffington Post, Psychopomp, Golden Walkman Magazine, The Spry Literary Journal, 34th Parallel, Carnival, The Snake Nation Review, The Seattle Review, Spindrift, Blue Railroad, and other publications. He's written extensively for TV, radio, and film. Robert holds an MFA in creative writing from Antioch University, where he now works as a book coach. He also develops courses and teaches for Antioch's online I2P program. In addition to fiction, he's had several literary essays published, and he often writes companion songs to his short stories. Both his music and fiction have won many awards. Robert also voices audiobooks. You can find out more about him at www.robertmorganfisher.com. Don't forget that submissions are open to our fall contest, the Jeffrey E. Smith Editor's Prize, with winners in the categories of poetry, nonfiction, and nonfiction, each receiving an award of $5,000. And please enjoy our excellent runner-up in prose, Vox Rex, by Robert Morgan Fisher.
Vox Rex. Royal King, Roy to those who know him, signs in. He's early. There are several voice actors ahead of him, but he's in no hurry. He grabs a copy of the sides, pulls out a pencil, and starts marking it up. Underline here, pause there, throw out the punctuation that doesn't work. Been a long time since he's been out on a live audition. Usually he emails a sound file from home like everyone else these days. He can remember when the internet didn't even exist. He'd spend the entire day driving to auditions. Of course, gas was way cheaper then. He didn't mind the driving. He loves to audition. An audition is a performance. You just don't get paid. The moment he puts on headphones, finds his sweet spot with the mic, only then does he relax. Back then, the waiting room was always filled with familiar faces. These people, no idea. No one shoots the breeze anymore. Always checking cell phones for messages. He modified his first name from Leroy to Royal back in Chicago. He needed a gimmick. It got him noticed. Those were the days of reel-to-reel demos. Someone would ask, "You got a reel?" It was an actual reel with tape. Insane. Then came cassettes, CDs. Now it's sound files, digital. He's got a website. He evolved with the times. At first he was resistant, but voice acting was his life. Maybe if he had a decent enough mug for on camera, he could have dropped voiceover. But even if he'd done that, he would have eventually come back to voice acting. Truth be told, he likes the anonymity. Sometimes, rarely, he speaks and people recognize his voice. That's always the best. For a while, he booked everything he went out for. Then he landed the first of several plum gigs where he became the voice. The voice of the insurance company, the voice of the airline, the voice of the animated whatever. It was constant. It was unstoppable. He couldn't shut off the money if he tried. He could have walked away, and residual checks would have continued for years. Then he became the voice of the TV network, and things got ridiculous. He got a limo and a driver. He resolved to get married and succeeded. He and Wendy had three sons. Bam, bam, bam. He was forever yelling for them to be quiet so he could record. Then he'd give them the all clear. It was like that for years. They got used to it. Then things got lean. Recessions. The gelded union. When he'd first started, it was agents saying, "Who's Royal King?" Then it was, "Get me Royal King." Then it was, "Give me someone who sounds like Royal King." Now it was back to, "Who's Royal King?" Wendy had to take a day job to help put the boys through college. She never forgave him for that. Now they were empty nesters, still living together, but in very reduced circumstances. They went from mansion to tract home to condo. Now they just rent an apartment. Wendy drinks and says, "You used to be Royal King." But he still is Royal King. He's still hitting it. And by God, he's going to nail this. He waits for the kid running the board to recognize his name, his voice. Nothing. That's okay. Just let me at it. Let's do this. Headphones on. He hears himself. There is no sweeter sound. The mic is a miracle of non-invasive technology. It insinuates itself into his mouth, nose, sinuses, lungs, all the way. No need to push. He just has to be the best Royal King he can be. He says it one way. Two ways. Done. Kid thanks him. He thanks the kid. He wants to do it again. The kid says no. He leaves. If he's lucky, they'll call him back. Have him do it again. Narrow the field. Then maybe they'll book him. Non-union. Flat fee. Royal King.
You've been listening to the Missouri Review Sound Booth Podcast, music by Mark Catalano. Check us out online at MissouriReview.com, where you can subscribe to the magazine and enter our annual Jeffrey E. Smith Editor's Prize Contest, with $5,000 prizes in poetry, fiction, and creative nonfiction. Thanks for listening, and check back next week for a new episode of the Missouri Review Sound Booth Podcast.